B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, well. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Boston Bruins victorious here tonight. 3-0 in game 6 over the Columbus Blue Jackets. They win the series 4-2, and they are on to the Eastern Conference Final for the first time since 2013.
Garden Bruins Hurricanes game 1 Eastern Conference Final tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're going to give you extra bonus coverage as well today. Felger Maz is going to go to 7 o'clock tonight. No baseball reporters. Sorry, Maz.
No, don't apologize. These are big times now for the Bruins.
So we're going to give you an extra hour of the program. Mostly Bruins preview, but if you still want to bitch about the Celts, it's the day for it. So we're going to go to 7 o'clock tonight. Felger Maz till 7 o'clock, and then there's a Bruins pregame start, or does pregame start 7:30?
No, you still get some Jones for half hour.
Okay, so you want to dip your beak into some Jones at 7 o'clock? He'll give you a half hour of, I'm sure, some good eating.
No, we had to get people good and angry for the hockey game.
All right, so Felger Maz till 7 o'clock tonight, Bruins and Celtics. On the Bruins tonight, just your thoughts on tonight, your thoughts on the series, expectations.
So I admit to you, I am guilty. I am one of these people that's looking past Carolina, and it started to strike me today that I should be more worried about this series than I am. And as I look at some of the numbers, do you realize that in terms of goals against this postseason, the Bruins are number one? They've been the best. Carolina's second. You want to do goals for? Okay, per game now, right? Not overall, because obviously teams are playing a different number of games.
Right.
Carolina's had the second best offense this postseason of any team in the league. The only one that was better was Vegas. They're obviously out. The Bruins are third. The point is, they've played every bit as well as you have. There's nothing that has separated them really from you in terms of the goals they've scored per game and the goals against per game.
In terms of how they've played.
Right. The only striking area so far, and again, I sniffed around a little the last day or so and talked to some people, and they said, don't underestimate this Carolina team. Okay, and that definition that people are throwing out there saying they're sort of a hybrid of Toronto and Columbus, they're somewhere in between, is accurate based on everything that I've heard. The one area that it looks like to me where the Bruins, on paper at least, have an appreciable advantage is special teams. The Bruins have a significantly better power play. They've been the best power play in the postseason. Do you know that?
Yeah. Well, and they scored on half their chances versus Toronto.
The penalty kill's been ridiculous. Were they 10 for 10 against Columbus?
Yeah, and Carolina's
is the worst. I think they're just over 10%.
Yeah, their power play's been wretched, so they haven't done either thing well. And if the Bruins can, get some advantages in the special teams, they should be able to exploit that.
I'm surprised you missed the biggest advantage they have.
The goalie.
Goalies.
And that?
The goalie.
A massive advantage in net.
Although, I was looking up Mrazek's career numbers in the postseason. They're pretty good.
Go ahead, give them to me.
I mean, I'll give you the exact numbers that he has in the postseason. Career in the playoffs, Peter Mrazek, and again, this is, he played limited time in Detroit and Philadelphia was, I think, right? He is, his career save percentage in the playoffs, .920, 2.09 goals against. It's pretty good. I mean, and, 2 years with Detroit when he was there, .931. This year's .913. The one, he had one bad year with Philly, but every goalie in the league goes to Philly and sucks.
That's right.
For crying out loud. So, I look at it and say, I don't know, you put a half-decent team in front of him that emphasizes some level of, defense, of team defense, of keeping the goal out of the net, and this guy seems like he's a better goalie than we're giving him credit for.
Okay, here's what I find interesting, though, is that and is it Mrazek? Is that how you pronounce it?
I think it's Mrazek.
Mrazek. Was hurt the last couple of games. Curtis McElhinney goes in and is lights out. Now, they both, Carolina swept and they, pulled the upset over the Capitals. So the team's playing well in all of this. But McElhinney goes in. Mrazek?
Mrazek.
Mrazek.
whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Morazic gets hurt in the middle of the game. McElhinney comes in and, you know, carries it out from there, then wins the last two. So McElhinney in his playoffs so far this year, 947 save percentage, 156 goals against. He's the hot guy. He's the hot guy, and they're taking him out and putting Mazarek back in, who's hurt.
Well, who was hurt.
Okay, so I don't know. If that were in Boston, what would we be saying?
Mistake.
I mean, I just wonder.
Yeah, we'd be saying mistake. Although, McElhinney, if I remember right, he used to be with Toronto as a backup. Wasn't he the same guy?
I don't remember his whole background.
I think that guy's a bum. And I don't know what the hell's happened. I'll look it up. I'm pretty sure he was with the Leafs at one point. And I thought he sucked when he was with them. Seriously. So, honestly, the bottom line, though, is either way, the Bruins have the better goalie.
Curtis McElhinney is he's 35. He's been in the league since 07-08. So, he's his 12th year. He's been on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is his 7th team. He was absolutely in Toronto, Maz, from 2016 through the 18 season. His career playoff record is a save percentage of 900, which blows. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just looking at 1 year. His career postseason save percentage is 917. His career postseason goals against is 230. Not horrible.
No, not horrible.
But all I know is what he's done in the last couple. And so he's the one that's in there right now. He's the one that's winning, and they're going back to the other guy. I just think there's a little bit of a choice there for Brind'Amour in Carolina, and I think he's made an interesting choice, one that's going to be easily second-guessed if Mazarek falls back on his face.
Well, right, especially if, you know, you come out tonight in game one after a layoff, and I still think even without McAvoy, the Bruins have the edge because of the layoff for Carolina. I just think it's a bad thing in hockey to sit for any length of time. So the goaltending thing is an obvious area that's going to draw scrutiny for Carolina. I just think the more I look at it, you know, because it's Carolina, I feel like the same way that I felt about Columbus on some level until I saw them play in the Tampa series. I went, ooh, these guys are good.
Well, who really knows anything about them? But, I mean, if you've watched...
Can I just stop one second because I just want to clarify something? McElhinney's playoff record is... These are the only two starts he's ever had. These are the only two starts he's ever had. He just came in spot duty when he was in Calgary 1 year and Toronto 1 year.
So very little sample, very small sample.
Tiny sample, which tells you something. 35-year-old guy has started only two playoff games, so I get it. Mazarek's the guy. He's the one has more of a pedigree. That's the one they're going. I get this. McElhinney's been a career backup, a career nobody, but he's got 947 save percentage in his stint this year, and he's the one that's taking a seat. Just pay attention. That's all. I'm sorry.
No, so, to me, the goaltending thing is going to be at the center of this series. If Tuukka keeps playing like he's playing, and I'm not one of these people, by the way, that thinks it's a given, because I think it can change series to series.
Agreed.
Like, I don't know, you know, is he playing well? Has he played great? Did he now get a couple of days off? Yes. Do I feel good about him? Yes. But that can change in the snap of a finger. We saw it with Bobrovsky in the middle of a series, for crying out loud. He was dynamite in the first two, looked absolutely unbeatable, and then by the end, he was something far closer to mortal. So I just think that, guilty as charged. Guilty. I am guilty. I look at Carolina and I say, that's the Whalers.
Or you just think it's a cute story and people know the bunch of jerks thing based on the celebrations.
They're a cute story. They're out of the playoffs for most of it. They have the lowest payroll in hockey. They don't have nearly the star power that you do, never mind in net. You know, the top three forwards in this series are all on your team. They have a good decor, but they're all young, all 24, 25, or they're soft like Hamilton or offensive natured like most of these guys are. And I'm not telling you they suck. I'm not telling you this is hockey. Anyone can beat anyone. So if you don't play well and they do, you'll lose. No, that I'm just telling you. But on paper, you shouldn't. On paper, you shouldn't lose.
But they do have talented forwards, whether it's Aho, Vakanainen.
Teravainen.
He's been nasty for them. Because I've watched a handful of these games, whether it was in the series against the Islanders or against Washington, and it's like, oh, okay. Like, they're pretty talented up front.
Okay, and tonight, just pay attention. McAvoy's out, obviously. And apparently your first D pair is going to be Zdeno Chara and Clifton. That's your first pair. They want to keep Carlo together with Krug.
Which is the right move.
Because they've been a good pair, and they've got a thing going, and they play well together. So they don't want to move Carlo up or Krug up. So it's going to be Chara and Clifton Krug, Carlo, and then your third pairing is Grizzlick, Kampfer.
So I'm a little worried about that third one because there's going to be a lot on Grizzlick.
You
now.
Think? Like, that's not exactly murderer's row there.
Yeah. So again, I'm more worried about the last. I don't mind Chara and Clifton. I think that's kind of intriguing to me. Like,
ooh, who's the one to settle things down there?
Okay, so Clifton to me plays with some poise.
He does.
Okay, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. For a guy his age and experience level, he plays with some poise.
Well, so that's what I mean. I'm not telling you he's Charlie McAvoy back there. But, Mike, what are their options?
Oh, they don't have any.
The option is Carlo.
Yeah, the option is move up Carlo and to give you one pair.
And then who's Krug play with?
Clifton.
Like, that scares me more. Like, at least with Chara, I say, okay, there's some experience and some size there. And, like, unless you're going to play 40 minutes of Chara and Carlo, I think this is the way you have to go. You have to have one decent defenseman on the ice, defensive defenseman at all times.
Okay, so that question, McAvoy out, who needs to step up? The series, the advantage you have in net. If you don't have the best goalie in this series, something went really wrong. Something went really, really wrong. Because I think both these guys in Carolina are stiffs. I think both of them are. And at least one of the stiffs was hot. And they're sitting the guy that was hot. So that's on the table. Your calls on the Bruins and whatever you want right after this.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From the center of the hockey universe, this is Bruins Game Day, live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No Charlie McAvoy in Game 1 for the Boston Bruins. What kind of impact does this have in this matchup?
A great impact. Unfortunately for the Bruins, it's only one game. And usually, in one game, other guys get a chance to step up and but in the long term, I mean, that's a tough one. Charlie McAvoy is an excellent defenseman. He's a good skater. Obviously, yes, it was a head hit right there where he lunged upwards and he gets a one game suspension. But they've had some players step up. As we take a look at the minutes, Charlie at almost 25 minutes, but who fills those minutes?
Who fills those minutes? 25 minutes a game for McAvoy. So that's a big, it's not a small one. It's not a small deal. I think they should be able to survive it. I mean, they've survived all those injuries during the year. That's sort of the hallmark of the team. So they should be able to do it, but I don't know. Who's on that list for you? Who's on that list? So that was Darren Pang, NHL Network, on the panel. His fellow panelist there was Mike Rupp. He used to play with the Minnesota Wild and among other teams. He had an answer. Who takes those minutes? Who's the guy that you look for? What did Rupp say?
Yeah. The one guy who's really impressed me, took his game to a new level, is Brandon Carlo.
Absolutely.
This postseason, he has been an absolute beast. I love his game. So look for maybe, and I like what we're seeing the projective D pairings are, because you don't want to mess up all the groups, because you got Krug and Carlo who have been very nice. Yep. So I think they'll be okay. They'll manage, but let's not mistaken. Charlie McAvoy is an absolute stud.
Yeah.
So it may affect Big Z a little bit, actually, but he's a guy. He'll find his way. Don't worry about Big Z. Yeah. They'll miss him a lot, but I like this decor. I like this group, and it's an opportunity for somebody else. But for me, I'd like to see Brandon Carlo even kick it up another notch here.
Okay, group again, unfortunate word, but Carlo.
Well, so it's a good point too, and depending on how the game goes, maybe you flip flop him. Right, and when I say that, I mean the first pair and the second pair. That if Carlo and Krug are playing better than the first pair.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if both Carlo and Krug get more minutes than Chara tonight.
So that's what I mean, right? Ultimately, that's what I mean.
And on the PK, it's obviously Carlo and Chara. Or in the third period, if you're holding a goal or two lead, Chara and Carlo. You know, whatever. Goalie pulled, minute and a half left, Chara and Carlo.
I mean, when you factor in a shorthanded time, penalty kill time, it wouldn't shock me if he got close to 30 minutes in this game.
Carlo.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. I mean, when you really weigh it out like that, you think about it. Because from the right, on the right side, where else are they going to go? I mean, Clifton and Camphor? Like, just no good.
Yeah.
So maybe he singularly is out there half the game. It's a good idea.
Okay, to your thoughts, as promised. Adam in Rhode Island has been waiting very patiently. Adam, are you still there?
Yeah, but that cathartic victory lap you took on Kyrie's head was pretty cool.
But thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Yeah, but anyways, I kind of was going to call up, but Matt's kind of beat me to the punch here. I mean, I've watched all of Carolina. This is going to be a hugely hard series. Did you know Carolina is a plus 73 in this year's playoffs, team combined, whereas Boston's a plus 45? Carolina has only one minus player who's only played 21 minutes time on ice in the entire playoffs.
Okay, but that feels misleading to me. How about just goal differential?
Oh, I'm sorry I don't have that. I just, you know, did the quick research, but I can look that up. I'm sure you could look it up. Jimmy, look it up. But I just think it's a huge underestimation. But, you know, like Brad, you know, Maz got to the point already. It's just there's not single stars on the team that, like, blow you away when you look at them, you know. But the whole team grinds.
Okay, Adam, thanks for the call and thanks for hanging on. I mean, here's all you need to know. If they can beat the Capitals and sweep the Islanders, they can beat you. And they will beat you if you don't play well.
Sure.
Period. No matter what their goal differential is or plus minus or just but this is hockey. It's not basketball. And so there's basketball matchups where it's insurmountable. Even at this level, even at the semifinals or the finals. In hockey, when you get to the semifinals or the finals, forget about it. Whoever's gotten here has already beaten someone as good as you.
Yeah, no. I don't think you can dismiss them. And I'm trying to look it up in terms of the goal differential. But given what we talked about in the first segment, which is their special teams haven't been good, well, that might be a reason. Because the power play goals,
right,
they
the
allow.
Plus minus, right?
Yeah, they're not going to factor into the plus minus there, right? So, like, I look at that. And some of their losses have been pretty one-sided. They lost a 6-0 game, for crying out loud, to the Caps. They also won a game 5-0 against Washington, so maybe that evens it out. But to me, the big thing is the special teams. If the Bruins can get some power plays here, and I also wonder whether this Carolina team, if those defensemen really want to back-check.
So they're not defensive defensemen. They're really good offensive defensemen from everything that you hear. They join the rush. They're skilled. Hamilton's a perfect example, but I think the other guys are sort of like them.
So
they're all sort of alike. They're not great in their own end.
So you got to make them play there, right? And that means forecheck and hit them, like all of that. If the Bruins can do that, to me, they should win the series.
Tony and Kingston, what do you got for us on the Bees?
How you doing, guys? It's kind of a combo. Like, earlier in the year, remember when Rash said something to the effect when things were going bad, that he, hey, it's only entertainment, blah, 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 and everybody, like, heaped all over him and kind of felt bad for the guy. And, you know, and now he's kind of forgiven. And someone like Kyrie could learn from something like that. The dude was just a little bit contrite and really had a little bit of a heart with him and, I guess, a little bit of a brain. He would understand that the fans would readily embrace him, especially in this town, which is just the best sports town. I mean, I lived in Philly and New York, and it's by far the best sports town that there is. And
okay, so listen, to me, I think the Rask thing proves that if you just play well, we'll forgive any other nonsense. If you deliver at this time of year, you can say the wrong thing. And I don't know if you meant him saying it's just entertainment was the right thing or the wrong thing. I didn't love that comment from Rask. I haven't liked some of the comments from Rask over the years. A little too blasé for my taste. A little too casual about it. But if you go out and stone people and perform in the playoffs and win playoff games, you can say whatever you want, which is a lesson for the whole Kyrie thing, which is if you deliver at this time of year, you can be the biggest donkey you want to be. People will accept it. So there's that. But when you play like ass, then you just subject yourself to all the character flaws off the floor.
I mean, for all the crap that he said, to sit there and say seeding doesn't matter, regular season doesn't matter, and then you get into the second round, you shoot 30% in the last four games, you shoot 18.5% from three, and you get your ass kicked. Like, after all that, boy, do you look like a jackass.
He was right about one thing. Home court didn't matter to them. They sucked wherever they played. It didn't matter. Milwaukee, Boston, he was right about that. Brian in Vegas. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I moved out here about a month ago, and I watched the Celtics sweep the Pacers. I got really excited. I saw Gordon Hayward, Jay in threes. Looked like Kyrie was coming around, and we were really going to play together. So I dropped a dime on the Celts. Lost it, obviously. I'm calling to see. What do you guys think about the bees? That 1,500 to make a grand to make it back today. And also
just
on the
tonight?
Cup, they're 5 to make 9. No, for the series.
Okay, for the series, they're plus 1,500 to make a grand.
I don't like the odds.
Ryan, don't chase. It's the worst thing you could do.
I'm with Murray.
Well, I mean, I talk about a bigger picture thing about gambling. He wants handicapping. I can't even reduce those odds. 1,500 to 1,000, whatever. I would. I think the Bruins.
You got to bet 3 to make 2.
Okay. Yeah. I think the Bruins are a decent bet there on the series. On tonight, I would never bet any single hockey game. I don't know. There's just too many variables. But the series, they should win this freaking series.
Yeah, I'm just telling you that. I like to bet based on odds, and those are bad odds.
They are bad?
Well, I mean, you got to lay 3 to make 2. Like, that's a bad investment. Like,
what if they should be? What if they're
now? Bad? If you told me it was the other way around, and the Bruins who were favored in the series, and you could get 1,500 for 1,000,
well,
I would
no,
take
but
it.
That would make them underdogs. The whole point is that they're favored.
I understand, but I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I'd find another bet. That's what I'm saying. Is find a better bet where you can, because otherwise you're 2,500 in the hole.
Okay, I'm just saying they're favored and they should be. That's all. That's my point. We have breaking Patriots news, folks. Here it is with Big Jim Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio. It's Felger and Mads. Bruins Game Day on your home of the Bees. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And you happened to bring up on the Coach's Corner that night what has made Raleigh, Carolina, the Hurricanes, you, everybody, rich and famous. This is unbelievable. The jerks phenomena.
I don't understand this. I said this on Canada, and it goes down in there. And, you know, it's a funny thing. They know that it's the wrong thing to do, or they do it in the playoffs. Now, what you do a guy, you do it in October, you don't see him till March. They know in the playoffs, you should, look at that there, that's pretty good. You should not, you know, I don't understand. Guys, I'm told the owner said entertain the crowd, and they still draft at 13 to 14,000 people. And these people that are here now they're winning. Front running fans, as far as I'm concerned, that's what they are. Front running fans, as far as I'm concerned.
Hard not to embrace it, though, isn't it? And the pig,
I don't embrace
the pig and
nothing. I said they look like a bunch of jerks being a fish in the water, a bowling ball. With this is professional hockey, and no sport in the world does it except them. And it come down from the top. I want you to interfere. I want to entertain the fans. The fans there now, they're 17 and 18,000. They're front runners. They're there because they win, not because they act like fish. Okay, that's it. I got my knowledge.
Don Cherry still at it with the bunch of jerks down in Carolina. So you also want to look. This is, let's face it, it's a Mickey Mouse franchise. It's a Mickey Mouse team in a Mickey Mouse market. You hate just aesthetically. Not even talking about on the ice. I'm just talking about off the ice. You don't want to lose to the freaking Hurricanes in Raleigh, who can't draw to the point where the team has to do these choreographed, basically dance routines on the ice after games to get people to show up to the building. And not that I'm going to, like, pull the old man thing like Don Cherry there. Like, I don't care. Do it if you need to do it. But I'm just telling you, if you need to do it, you're a Mickey Mouse operation.
They're one of the most irrelevant franchises in the NHL, if not all of sports. I mean, credit to them. They got here for a reason. They're talented enough, but they are. They're like one of those teams. Like, why do you even exist?
I would hate to lose to that team.
I mean, seriously, if they were to, like, move or if they were erased.
They should move.
I'm not sure I would notice is the point.
Right.
I would say, oh, yeah, that's right. They used to be you. Like, has it ever crossed your mind to say, you know, we should make a road trip and see a Hurricane?
No, not once.
Right? I mean, isn't that the definition of an irrelevant franchise?
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't even waste a second of your brain power on that. I would go to Carolina to see this jackass operation? No way. You can't lose to these bums.
To see them pretend that they're a bowling ball knocking down bowling pins?
So I'll tell you, like, I'm coming around on the whole, you know, entertainment thing? Because, like, can we stop all being so sensitive about it? Like, baseball has this problem, right? The guy wants to flip a bat, let him flip a bat. Who gives a rat's ass? Just get the next guy out. So that part doesn't bother me as much anymore. But the identity of the franchise
is this.
Yeah. And just as a quick aside, as we're talking about the nonsense aspect of it, I hate their uniforms. I hate their uniforms.
I have no use for their uniforms either. Fine.
I told you, every time I look at them, I get them mixed up with the Devils.
All right, anyway, back to your calls. Rob and Stoneham. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, quick question for you guys. I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but say the Bruins were to go on to win the Stanley Cup this year. Based on the level of competition, would you be putting an asterisk next to this win? Or was it completely deserved?
We've already discussed it. We've officially said no asterisk, no whiteboard. In actuality. But will it be discussed? Will it be part of the story?
Sure.
You bet.
Yeah.
And it should be.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, I think it's part of the reason the Celtics got to the conference final last year. The road opened up for them. But again, you got to take advantage of it. So you got to get credit for that, too. But, man, you couldn't ask for a better road than the Bruins have gotten.
And as time goes on, you'll never – like, I mean, what was the Bruins road in 1970 or 72? Does anyone even know?
No.
And as I look back to 2011, you know, who did they get through there? 2013, I remember, past Sidney Crosby. I mean, I know that they
2011, I can tell you.
No. I mean, I know they beat Montreal, and then they swept Philly, and then they beat Tampa in seven. But who was the best team in the league that year?
Oh, I couldn't even tell
exactly,
you.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Okay, so that's
Vancouver.
What I mean.
Vancouver was.
Okay, fair enough. But, I mean, I'm just telling you, as time goes on,
it doesn't matter.
It fades, right. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It that's just all I'm trying to prove to you.
That matters is that banner.
That's right. That's
the only thing.
Is the ring. And, you know, in the short term, we'll say, yep, they caught some breaks with the road. But trust me, as it goes on, no one will remember or care to remember. Matt in Malden, your thoughts.
Hey, quick point and a question. The quick point is we were all busting Tortorella's chops for the I guarantee Dame 7 stuff. But I prefer that attitude to Kyrie's I don't care nonsense. So at least give me some fire in the belly. My question is, with the relatively easier path to the cup, given that the Celtics crashed and burned so hard, is there a greater fan expectation on the Bruins to go all the way, and what impact will that have?
I don't think it's related to the Celts. I don't. I mean, they'll get more attention. But then not even. I mean, they're crushing in the ratings as it is. All the hockey people are on board anyway, so some casuals we're going to watch anyway. I don't think there's appreciable difference. I think the letdown will be you lost to Carolina. You lost to Carolina. You don't lose to Carolina. They're the lowest payroll in hockey. They're the most anonymous team in hockey. They're a Cinderella story. They're not a legit elite NHL operation. You are. You may not be the best team in the league, but you're top five, you're top six. You have stars on your roster. You have Hall of Famers on your roster. You've got a championship pedigree. You're here. Don't lose to the freaking Hurricanes.
They're the Vegas favorite. They can't.
Yeah, it'd right. The Bruins are the odds-on favorite. Now, I think them and San Jose should be
neck and neck.
Even money. I think those two teams are even on the ice. I think San Jose will have a lot going for them off the ice. So San Jose, if you beat them, I mean, if you get beat by San Jose and you've played well doing it, I don't know if there's tremendous shame there. If you lost to Carolina, there'd be shame. Shame on you. Same with Colorado. St. Louis. Shame.
San Jose would be a fun series, but I don't want to jump down that road yet. Like the Bruins should win this series. They're home. They got an extra day here. They're playing a team that is overachieved.
Rask is playing out of his mind.
Like really, all the way around. Again, I would say they're the more complete, better team. They should win the series.
Long commercial-free segment is next with you.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Phil.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
From the center of the hockey universe, this is Bruins Game Day, live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
pretty much everybody in, at one point or another, you know, I think Kretsch stayed very healthy and Marsh for the most part. Other, you know, we lost key guys, Berge, we lost Pasternak, we lost Charlie, we lost C. You know, Kevin Miller is still out. So we've been able to step up with the guys, with the depth. You know, Donnie's done a real good job there, obviously, finding guys that, you know, we didn't know if Cliffy, how, you know, and here he is in the Stanley Cup playoffs playing good minutes for us. So there's a little bit of that. Kuhlman came up late in the year. So for our group, I think we're good that way. We got good leadership. We don't ask too much of those players other than, hey, you're the next guy in. Do what you do best. Do your job. And hopefully we put him in a good position to do that, not ask him to get out of his comfort zone. And now it's May, so guys do have to get out of their comfort zone a little bit. At the end of the day, we're going to need a good, solid performance by all six of those defensemen. We're not going to ask Connor Clifton or Steve Camphor to go in and do what Charlie does. But each guy in that blue line is going to have to elevate a little bit.
Bruce Cassidy, again, another Our Group reference. But no McAvoy tonight. So that's a certainly a factor tonight. McAvoy was your minutes leader on defense. I think he's someone who's helped cover for Zdeno Chara with his struggles. It's a little scary to think that Chara is going to be out there with Connor Clifton as a rookie in his, whatever this is, fifth, sixth playoff game of his life. So there's an issue in back. There's an issue in back. And I wonder if your first D pair tonight is really Krug Carlo and your second pair is Chara Clifton, and you got to watch it. And so, but as Cassie said, they've overcome injuries all year, sort of a hallmark of the team. They've been part of their resilience. And so we'll see. But if anything plays in Carolina's favor, that's a big one tonight. No Charlie McAvoy.
Absolutely.
So we continue with your thoughts as promised. Mike in the truck. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, a couple things. First, did you guys call it on Kyrie last night? Didn't you say he was going to go 6-for-22 and he went 6-for-21?
Jim Stewart did.
That's pretty funny.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Because we said, well, he went 8-for-22 and said, well, now I know what I'm going to do and you won't see the same guy the next game. Then he went 7-for-22, one worse, and said, well, you're not going to see another 7-for-22 from me. And then we asked Jimmy Stewart, what's he going to be the next night? 6-for-22. And you know what? He did it. 6-for-21.
No, really. I mean, between the big board and Jimmy Stewart, we have like fortune-telling for crying out loud.
Of all these teams in town, every single team in town takes whatever we say and shoves it right down our throats. Right? Blah. It's the year of the blah. And so you give the Celtics all this material, and all they do is live up to every single dig that we take at them. They're the only team that isn't motivated by it. It's unbelievable.
No. In fact, now that I think of it, they're very important to us because they give us credibility.
Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, so on the Bruins, normally I'd be less concerned losing an offensive player for a game than a defensive player. Is it okay at this point to think that Rask is going to cover up for whatever we lose not having McAvoy in for a game? I think it was more...
Okay. Yeah, Maz is nodding his head.
Well, so this is one of those where I said, okay, you're going to lose your best defenseman, basically, or one of your top two. In a game like this, you could use the goalie to, you know, turn in another good one. Like, and, you know, so fine, the minutes will go to Carlo whoever else, but the reality is you're not going to be as good on D as you are typically. So, you know what? The goalie's going to have to move up a little.
And I'm sorry. These are not the 1986 Edmonton Oilers. Or I don't even know if they won the cup that year. Right. I have the year wrong. But you know what I mean. I mean, they've got a couple good forwards. Their skill is in back. They got some really good offensive defensemen. But they don't have 3-4 line. They've got, you know, Aho. They've got 3 or 4 forwards.
I mean, I think they just shut down Aho. He kills them, for crying out loud. He, again, 9 games against the Bruins, 8 goals, 12 points. He's got power play goal, a shorthanded goal, and 6 even strength. He kills them everywhere. Like, they got to find a way to slow that guy down.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's an a-hole.
Meanwhile, Mike and Woburn checking in. Hi, Mikey.
Hey, that offsides call last night, that goal reversal, was a freaking travesty. They should get rid of that rule now. Freaking just rewrite half the rule book, you know, between pucks bouncing off nets and them, you know, going and taking goals off the board because a guy may or may not be standing on the blue line on a inconsequential part of a play. Like, the NHL playoffs, it's like they're shooting themselves in the foot over and over and over again every round. And you want to talk about an asterisk, like, put one on the Sharks. Because they're game sevens where they've been completely bailed out by the officials. I'm sorry we're going to miss McAvoy tonight. He deserved the suspension, but it's because they've subverted that Rule 48. When that rule went on the books, it's because of guys like Matt Cook and Rafi Torres taking guys' heads off. Now, again, it's like the offsides rule. They go frame by frame through these hits and decide what's clean and what's dirty, you know, by Zapruder-ing them. And I don't, and that, for me, takes away some of the aggression of the playoffs. Because, honestly, all these guys are trying to hurt each other when they're throwing hits in the playoffs. It's a battle of attrition. The players know it. That's why you didn't see any animosity between Anderson and McAvoy in that handshake line. But, by going through these hits now and you know, taking them apart CSI style, it's ridiculous the way how thin the line is between clean and dirty. And it's going to cost.
Okay, I understand you. I don't think that was that thin of a line. I thought that was pretty textbook. But I do think the Anderson thing and the fact that he came right out to start the third tells you he tried to sell it, which is, you know, all fair and love and war at this time. And, you know, I think all teams do. But I don't think that was I think that one in real time.
It was clear cut.
First time you saw it, it was like, that was textbook.
I mean, it was a suspendable hit. I think they got it right. I think it could have been worse for the Bruins. They could have lost McAvoy for the third period of that game on top of it. Like I thought the officials gave him a little bit of a break there.
And Mike doesn't have to worry. That asterisk is ready to be put on the Sharks. Fake. Two fake Game 7 wins.
See, teams like that scare me, though.
Okay, but the offsides play was in the second period?
Yeah.
Okay, come on.
To tie it up 2-2.
Would have tied the game, though.
But they were, and then they go up 3-1, right? So I missed the play, and all of my Celtics and Bucks.
You would have. It's everything you hate.
It was just.
It's everything you hate. It has nothing to do with the play.
I mean, and really, obviously, connects to, the Vegas thing was worse. But I just look at that, and I say, I don't know, sometimes it's just meant to be for certain teams.
That's how I agree. San Jose legitimately scares me.
Yeah, they got a lot going right for them right now.
So San Jose, I think,
had some Patriots Tuck rule type crap.
That's exactly that too, like that sort of thing. So not like as Maz just said, they got all that sort of the hockey gods, that sort of thing.
Like the 2018 Red Sox.
Anthony, you had to do that. Anthony and Medford, yeah. Go ahead, Anthony.
What scares me, the defense does scare me, because Campers, I hate seeing him on the ice. And, you know, Chara hasn't had the best playoffs. He's looked old. You got to admit that, right?
Oh, yeah. Big problem.
Right, so
and
then
that's
Krug
it.
Has had his ups and ons, too. I mean, he hasn't been great in the defensive end. So that, and then you got Clifton. So they're a bit there. But, Mike, the strength of the Bruins is definitely up the middle. I mean, you've got Bergeron, Krejci. Corrali is not a fourth line center, of course, Coral. Tony, you were saying the other day.
Let me just stop you. You gave your three, four things. Go ahead. What were you going to comment on?
Look, I'm not telling you I'm a huge Tory Krug fan, because I'm not. But I thought at the end of the Columbus series, he was actually pretty decent.
Well, let's see it tonight, because, again, I think he's going to be on the de facto first pair and is going to get 20-plus minutes in a conference final game. So all the Krugites out there, there's a lot of them, all the Krug people, this is a night for you. They need him.
I mean, to me, the big one with him is the decisions with the puck. Like, when he gets careless with the puck, it really bites. The size is nothing he can do anything about. But there were a couple of times in the last game against Columbus in particular where I saw him going to the boards against bigger guys. And, man, he fights. He does fight. He'll fight for position and all of that, to the point where, like, he actually puts up a battle against guys that are a lot bigger than him.
Okay, folks, here's the deal tonight. We're giving you an extra hour. Felger and Maz go to 7 o'clock tonight. No baseball reporters. It will be Felger and Maz fully loaded from 6 to 7. Get your game ready for the Bruins. Let you scratch the itch on the Celtics. Speaking of which, it's how we began the program. 2 full hours. A tremendous amount of blood in the water in those 2 hours. We unloaded on Kyrie Irving and that team, and they deserved it. So I can't promise you that, and we're going to reset it now. We're going to circle back to our Celtics points. I can't promise it will be with the same vigor that we gave it, because we gave you it all. We sort of, we unburdened ourselves.
It was all bottled up.
Yeah, so we know you're angry. Everyone should be angry. I said before that I think that this is one of the greatest disappointments in Celtics history.
Oh, yeah, it's up there.
I mean, honestly, for a franchise that's had so few of them, I've almost never considered you losers. You know, not that you win every year, and not that you've won at a high level over the last couple decades, but there's always been a Celtic way and a Celtic pride, as corny as that is. And it's just, I've never thought you to be
unprofessional?
Unprofessional, unlikable losers until this year. And I think this is one of the great fails in Celtics history this season. I do. And I think last night was the capper for it. So we'll circle back to all of that stuff with your thoughts after Murray's 90-second update, in which there's some breaking Patriots news. I'll give it to you here. And then we come back with some of your Celtics thoughts. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.